Lord, as we come before you this morning, we ask that you would just speak to us as we grapple with these last three chapters of the book of Daniel. Help us, Lord, to understand what is going on. But help us, Lord, not only to understand, but to be able to apply to our lives what we learn. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, I've entitled the talk this morning, The Wicked and the Wise, because I think that's really what is going on in these last three chapters of the book of Daniel. You remember that Daniel has been taken as a prisoner in the exile to the country of Babylon. He was a young man when that happened, probably 14, 15 or 16 when he was taken as a prisoner. You remember that he was trained up in the courts of Babylon to serve the king of Babylon. He was trained up to be a wise man. He was trained up to be able to analyze things. And so spent much of his working life, or in fact all of his working life, serving the kings of Babylon. We realize by the end of chapter 6 that Daniel was now an old man. In his mid-80s by this time. So we're talking a period of good 70 years that Daniel had served the Lord in Babylon and served the kings. Daniel had also received a number of different visions, and we've had a look at those, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, where Daniel had received different visions about different things that were going to take place. And in chapters 10 right through to chapter 12, we've got one long vision that takes place. It is possible to split them up, but I think it's easier to understand them if we look at them as one unit rather than as three separate chapters. And so, really, I want to have a look at each chapter separately this morning, and we're going to have a look at each of those under a single heading. But we are going to deal with the whole thing as a whole and try and tie it together to see what is going on. So really the three key elements that I think come out in this last vision that Daniel has is first, strength in the Lord. I think this is something that many of us need, is the strength of the Lord as we go through life, as we try and grapple with the problems and the struggles of life. And so Daniel, still in the land of Babylon at this stage, he's about 86 years old at this point. He's an old man. Many of the Jews already have been allowed to return to Jerusalem when King Cyrus came into power, which we read about in chapter 6. Then the other prophets come into play, Jeremiah and Ezekiel come into play, and they tell us that many of the Jews went back to Jerusalem to rebuild both the wall and the temple. But Daniel, for whatever reason, perhaps because of his senior age, has remained in Babylon, and he is still receiving visions from the Lord. And so in chapter 11, we are told the vision that Daniel has. It's a long vision. It's 45 verses long. And this is the vision that Daniel had. But as we introduce to this whole vision in chapter 10, we realize that Daniel had spent a period of time, look at verse 2, that Daniel had spent a time of mourning for 3 weeks. Last week we read, and we had a look at chapter 9, that Daniel spent some time in sackcloth and ashes. And it seems that Daniel is again doing a similar thing here. He's not eating. Verse 3 tells us that he ate no choice food. In other words, he only ate what he needed to eat in order to survive. He ate no meat or wine. He used no lotions until the 3 weeks were over. Daniel was in mourning for a long period of time. Daniel, I think, had lost his strength at this point. He didn't know what to do with himself. And when, on the 24th day, verse 4, of the first month, Daniel is confronted by a man standing on the banks of the great river Tigris. Verse 5, as he looks up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. And verse 7, Daniel says, it was only him who saw the vision. And verse 8, I had no strength left. My face turned pale, and I was helpless. Daniel was face down on the ground, trembling out of fear, as he confronted this gleaming character that stood by the side of the river. Many commentators feel that this character was in fact an early incarnation of the Lord Jesus himself. But as this man reaches out and lifts Daniel up and says to him in verse 12, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Notice two important things here about what Daniel has done. Daniel has no strength left in him, yet we read that Daniel was perturbed by the vision, and he sought to gain understanding. He did not know what was going on. He did not understand things. And so he looked to try and gain understanding. The angel says, or the man in white says, that you set your mind to gain understanding. He was trying to understand what was happening in his life at this point. He was trying to understand what this vision was about that he had seen. And perhaps, friends, there's something that you and I can learn from this. When Daniel is faced with an insurmountable problem, so much so that he has spent the last 3 weeks mourning, what is he doing while he's trying to come to grips with this? He's trying to gain some sort of understanding. And I wonder if Daniel had not turned to the scriptures, to the Bible that he had, to try and get some understanding as to what was going on here. I mean, as you and I read our Bibles together, do we grapple over them? Do we mourn when we read a section in the Bible that God will judge the world and condemn everybody to hell? Do we spend time mourning and pleading with God? Do we seek to understand what has been said in the Bible? Or do we, as I sometimes do, just read the Bible and put it down and continue with my life? Daniel was trying to understand what was going on. Perhaps he referred to some of his colleagues, but I think more likely his understanding was turned to the Lord God, and he was praying. That's why the man in white can say, the first day you asked, I heard. Because I think Daniel was turning to God. He did not understand what was going on. Life was difficult for him. This vision had really upset him. And Daniel turns to God. Friends, you and I need to do the same. We need to seek out the Lord. When life is not going the way we'd like it to, when we're struggling with all sorts of issues, let's turn to God. Let's seek out his help, his understanding. Daniel sought to gain understanding about these things. But notice also that not only did he seek understanding, verse 12, but the man in white says that you set to your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God. In other words, Daniel realized that he needed to come before God. He realized that although he might have been a wise man in Babylon, although his colleagues had huge amount of experience between all of them, he understood that he needed to humble himself before the Lord. He understood that without coming and turning to the Lord God, he would have no understanding whatsoever. He shut away his pride and he turned to God who could help him. All this is happening after he had received the vision. He obviously received the vision 3 weeks earlier. And he is now finally, 21 days later, being spoken to by God. Now perhaps we feel, that's rather a long time for God to answer a man who is really, really in a bad place. It took 3 weeks for this man in white to come and actually speak to Daniel. Why is this taking so long? It's not a 3 week journey between us and God. So why did God take so long to answer Daniel's prayer? Well, look at verse 12 and 13. He says, "Since the first day that I heard your words, and I have come to respond to them." So God heard the words that Daniel prayed on the first day that he prayed them, literally moments after he'd seen the vision. But look at verse 13. "But the prince of the Persian king resisted me 21 days." That Persian king, I think, is more of a reference to a spiritual battle rather than an earthly king per se. And so we might begin to understand that what has taken place here is that when Daniel prayed to the Lord God, God heard his prayer straight away. But there was this huge spiritual battle that was taking place. And it took the Lord God 21 days to sort that out. And I think that's something that we must never forget. Paul speaks about the fact that our battle is not against human forces and against blood and flesh, but against the spiritual forces of evil. And I think that's exactly what's taking place here. Daniel was so concerned about honoring God, about obeying God, about understanding what God had to say, that there was this huge spiritual battle in heaven, and it delayed the Lord in getting to answering Daniel himself. Now, friends, perhaps the thing that we can learn from this is, don't stop seeking to find understanding for what is going on in your life as we turn to the Lord, as we read the Bible. Keep on searching. Keep on praying. Keep on humbling yourself to the Lord God. And notice what happens towards the end of chapter 10 as Daniel has persisted for 3 weeks. His strength is gone. We read in verse 18 that his strength is gone, that he can hardly breathe. You ever been in a situation like that where your heart just seems to grip you like this and you cannot get breath? Perhaps that's how Daniel felt at this point. And notice what happens, verse 19. The man in gleaming white says, "Peace. Be strong now. Be strong." And he reached down and pulled him up. You see, friends, I know all of us go through struggles. Some of us are going through struggles at this very point in time. But don't give up on the Lord. Don't turn your back on him. Keep following him, and he will give you strength. Daniel had seen the vision. He was totally powerless he was weak, but God answered his prayer and gave him strength. Chapter 11, we now get a glimpse as to what the vision was. And my second comment this morning, continued wickedness. Let's have a brief look at what Daniel had seen in this vision that upset him so much. The vision unfolds, and it seems to be a continuation of the previous visions that we've come across. Remember the visions that we've looked at? There was the ram and the goat, remember, with all the horns, and the one horn coming up and destroying other horns, and I suggested that those horns were actually powers of authority, kings, rulers of the world, and how the world was taken over by one world leader, and then they were destroyed, and another one came in. And it seems that this last and final vision, this long vision, 45 verses of it, is an embellishment of these other visions. So look at verse 2, for example. Three more kings will appear in Persia, and then a fourth, who will be far richer than all the others. Then a mighty king will appear who will rule with great power and do as he pleases. And after he has appeared, verse 4, his empire will be broken up. And verse 5, the king of the south will become strong, but one of his commanders will become even stronger. And well, we don't have time to read through the whole chapter this morning, but if you continue reading, the idea is that one nation will step up and rule the world or rule an area, and a stronger nation will come in and defeat them. And as they're in power, as they rule in the world or their nation, another nation will come. And so the story goes on and on right through the whole of chapter 11. You see, the idea, the vision that Daniel had seen, which upset him so much, was that there will never be world peace. There will never be peace in the world, because there will always be somebody fighting somebody else. There will always be somebody trying to usurp the power of somebody else. Can you see why Daniel is so shaken by this? Why he spent 3 weeks mourning and praying to God? No wonder the Lord had to give Daniel strength to stand in the midst of what was happening. But I wonder if you notice here, and perhaps just turn with me to verse 32 and 3. For in the middle of all this struggle and this fight for power, there's a glimmer of hope. Verse 32, with flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant. But the people who know their God will firmly resist him. That's speaking about some big world figure, whoever that might be. Verse 33, those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword, or be burned, or captured, or plundered. In the middle of the struggle for power in the world, which we see every day in the news, Africa is rife with it as one chief tries to usurp another one, as one group of people try to overtake another government. But the people who know their God will firmly resist him. In other words, they will stand true to the Lord. We've been praying for the persecuted church around the world. And in fact, this vision that Daniel had seen here, that the wise will instruct many. The wise here is a reference to being Christian. Those who understand God's will and God's salvation plan. Those who are wise will instruct many. In other words, they will tell people about what Jesus has done for them. Though, for a time, they will fall by the sword or be burned or be captured or plundered. And we see that happening in our world all the time. Christians who have been imprisoned for the mere fact that they follow the Lord. Can you see why this upset Daniel so much? Can you see why Daniel is so weak and powerless? Now, I know we can pinpoint this vision in history, and we can say, oh, well, this happened, and then that happened, and in history, this king took over that king, and then the king of Greece came in, and then the Romans came in, and then this happened, and then that happened. I know we can pinpoint this in history, this vision. But I think the idea here is way bigger than one moment or one period of history. The idea here is that this is going to continue right until the last days. And we will, as Christians, be able to stand true, but we will face hardships. We will face difficult times. Notice verse 36 and also verse 45. First verse 36. The king will do as he pleases, but notice the phrase at the end there. Until the time of wrath is completed. In other words, his time is limited. Notice verse 45, at the end of the chapter. Yet he, that is the wicked king, will come to his end, and no one will help him. God will give strength to those who follow him. Strength to endure the wickedness of the world, while at the same time he will limit the extent of the wicked, and one day will bring justice for what they have done, and they will have to answer to that. Daniel's really upset by this vision, and I think you and I should be too, that this vision that Daniel has had. It's not a great vision, is it? It's a vision of violence. It's a vision of struggle, of difficulty that will last for a period of time. But the hope is in the middle of it, and this is my third comment, that the wise will rise. Chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Michael, I think, is a reference to the angel Michael. And there will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, and then he explains for us what your people is, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. What we have here is the final part of the vision that Daniel had about the end of time, when those who know the Lord Jesus will go to be with him, referred to, as I've mentioned in this passage, as the wise. And those who do not know the Lord will face the judge and will be sentenced to eternal shame and contempt. Or another way of saying that is to hell. And I think, friends, this is a massive warning for us today. As we see the wicked prosper, as we see the unrighteous continue in their wicked ways, as people scramble for power and authority, one day all of them will answer to the great and real Christian God, to Jesus himself. And anyone who has not accepted what the Lord Jesus has done for them on the cross, anyone who has not got their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, as Revelation tells us, will not be with the Lord. But notice as this vision stops, Daniel asks the Lord, how long will this continue for? Verse 6. And there's a whole whack of debate over the length of time. He says in verse 6, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? In verse 11 and 12, we are given an answer that it's 1,290 days, or, and there's another figure there, 1,335 days. And many have tried to, again, pinpoint the exact moment when these things will last and finish. But remember that we are talking here about apocalyptic literature. And as I've spoken over the last few weeks, apocalyptic literature is writings that have been written in picture language. And so numbers are not always taken as physical, literal numbers, but rather as pictures, like we use the four corners of the earth to describe the whole world. We don't literally mean a flat earth with four corners. And so in this sense, these figures here, this 1290 and the 1335, I think are meant to tell us that it is a long period of time, but limited. It will not go on forever, but it is a long period of time. And so Daniel says, or prays, how long? And the Lord says, for a limited period of time, these things will continue. Ultimately, and we see this in verse 10 of chapter 12, that many will be purified. They will be made spotless and will be refined. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. You see, friends, the message of Daniel has been, our God is really the true Christian God. Our God is really the God who can help us in day-to-day life, but who also will be there for us through the whole of life. The message of Daniel is such that God will win the day, that God will defeat the wicked, that God will honor the righteous. But of course, we need to draw close to Him. We need to pray to Him. We need to humble ourselves before Him. And we need to rely on Him for our strength so that we can endure in these difficult days. So that one day we will rise to our allotted inheritance. As verse 13 says, as for you, go your way till the end, however long that period might be. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Daniel was in the midst of an exile where people had no land of their own. The book finishes by saying, continue to follow me, and you will one day have a land that you can call your own. Maybe not in this world, but definitely with the Lord in heaven. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just come before you this morning, and we just want to thank you for your word. We just want to thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word with all its great promises, but also with all its warnings. And Lord, we ask that you would help us not to try and rely on our own strength. We ask that you would help us to trust you, to pray to you, to seek you, to humble ourselves before you. And we ask this in your name. Amen.